Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you. For those who don't know me, I am John. I am the assistant pastor here, and it is always a pleasure when I get to come and share a word with you of what God has put on my heart. And I'm excited about today. I know I'm excited just about every time I share, but I'm really excited about today because today's message was actually birthed out of a prophetic word that my sister-in-law Marissa actually received. And she shared with me, and just in conversation was telling me what God had showed her. And instantly, as she shared it with me, I believe God spoke to me and said, this is for the church. This is something that I need to share with you guys. So I'm very excited about this. The word was this, is that she got a picture of God, basically, as an archer. So standing with a bow and an arrow, and that she was the arrow in his bow, and he was preparing to launch her forward. That he had the bow drawn and was ready to release that arrow to go to a direct target of what it was aiming for. And so I remember hearing that, and as soon as she said it, God just spoke to me, said, this is for the church. So we're going to dive into this a little bit. I know nobody here is interested in hearing a lecture on how archery works or anything, but please understand, we're going to walk through some of the positions of archery and how this all works, but it's all to point to a spiritual principle of what God's doing. So I'm not trying to educate you on archery or anything. I'm only an amateur at best as well with that, but I've done some things that God has shown me through this example, this illustration that I think is going to help us today. So let's take a second and just pray, and then we'll dive into the word for today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here together, to hear from you. I ask that you would give us ears to hear what you are speaking to our hearts today as individuals. We thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here, and those watching online, thank you for tuning in, checking us out. So there's three basic positions to archery, okay? You can micro-analyze it and come up with a few more, but three basics that it is. And we're titling today's message, Ready, Set, Release. Okay, so there's the ready position. This is when you're knocking your arrow. You put it onto the bow, you line it up with the string, and it's ready to be pulled back. So that's your ready position. The second position is the set position. When you raise the bow, you pull the string back with the arrow on it, and you're taking aim. That's your ready position, right? Or your set position. And then the release, pretty self-explanatory. You let go of that arrow, it flies to its target, hopefully hits the bullseye, might be somewhere around there, and that's your three basic positions. So what does all this have to do with us today? And I want to talk about the first one, so that ready position when you're knocking the arrow. Part of this is the selection of the arrow, right? So an arrow, and this is interesting, needs to be perfectly straight and balanced if it's going to reach the target that the archer is going for. If an arrow has a bend in it, even if it's such a slight little bend, it will change how that flies through the air, and it will miss its mark. It will not be able to be launched towards what the archer is intending for it to hit if it has such a slight bend or an imbalance in it. So as I was praying about this and thinking about this, God began to show me that each of us in our lives have some wrong thinking, right? Many of us, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're here and you haven't done that yet, we'll talk some more about that as we go, but if you're a Christian, you're a Jesus follower, you came to a point in life where you said, Jesus, I need your help. I need you to come into my life, change me. I repent of my sins. I want to follow you. And I know for myself, maybe for you this was the case too, but I knew there were parts of my life that were a mess and that I didn't like the results of how I was doing it. So I called out to God for help because I needed help in those areas. So he came in and he did amazing works in those areas, the things that I was struggling with. He helped me in an incredible way. And then as I continued to walk with him, I discovered that there were some areas in my life that I didn't want him to touch yet. That I, you know, when he came and he said, oh, well, I want to fix this too. And I said, no, that's not what I was talking about. This mess over here is what I wanted you to fix. And he said, no, but this is going to lead you to a disaster too. I want to fix this. And I had a bend in my arrow, a bend in my life that was causing me to not be able to be launched towards the target that he intended for me to hit. And he had to help me renew my mind, conform to his purposes and his plans for my life, lining up with his word and his will. Because it's only when we do that that we're going to be able to fly true to hit the target that he's intended for us to hit. There's a verse in the New Testament that talks about this, and it's found in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 14. And it says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing." I know grumbling was a thing I dealt with a lot when I was younger. That was one God had work on me with. And then verse 15 says this, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." We don't have to look around too hard to find crooked and warped things going on around us, right? You know, and unfortunately to say, we don't have to look very hard probably in our own lives too to find the flaws, the imbalances, the things that God is trying to work out of us. And he says, allow me to straighten that arrow of your life, that thinking. Get your thinking in order so that you can fly to the target that I have destined for you to hit. Because if we're continuing to bend, continuing to hold on to things that he doesn't have for us, we're unable to be used for that destined purpose that he has for us. Doesn't mean God can't use you at all, but it means you are being held back from that ultimate goal that he has for you because you're not allowing him to conform you, to renew your mind. And there's things in your life and in my life that God's saying, let go of this. It's not my best for you. You're holding on to these things that are keeping you back from being used by me. And God's saying, if you surrender it to me, you will be more satisfied, you'll be more content, you'll be better off. And so what are the things that keep us from doing that, right? Is often, you know, we like the result that we could get from keeping that bend in our life, right? We like the benefit it might give us in a certain situation, whatever that might be. But God is telling you today, if you'll surrender it, if you'll give up those things that are the bends in your life. So a bend is anything that is contrary to God's word. Bend is anything you're holding on to that is not good for you. That God's saying, hey, I've got better for you. So it could be anything from an unforgiveness to a selfish desire to things that are hard in your life that you're saying, this is just the way I always have done it and I'm going to continue to do it. And God's saying, I have a better way. And he's got great things for you, but you have to surrender that to hit the target that he's called you for. A friend of mine last week told me something God had spoke to him, that he was looking out into an area of land in the woods, and he saw all of the trees as trees grow kind of bent and crooked and, you know, how trees grow up. And then right in the middle of it was one specific tree that was just pinned straight, just straight, tall, and everything. And God spoke to his heart and he said, this is how I've called my church to be. And that's the reality, is that when everything around us is looking crooked and bent and all over the place, that we're called to be straight and stand up for what God has called us to stand up for. That we can be a demonstration of his love to the hurting world. That we can express that in a clear way. That we can be the arrows that he's called us to be, to fly true and straight to the target that he's destined for us to hit. In Matthew 5, starting at verse 14, it says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How we act matters. How we treat other people matters. And God's called us to be true and straight to his word, which is always to act in compassion, in love, in kindness towards others. Because he's called us to love the broken, called us to bind up the brokenhearted, right? To be there for others. And as we're conforming our thinking, even if they're people we don't like how they think or their actions or whatever it is, that we're called to care for them and love them and have compassion towards them, that we can correct our bend and fly to the target that he has for us. So that's the first step, is selecting that arrow, knocking it on the bow, and it has to be straight. So maybe you're here today and God's prompting you. He's saying, hey, this is an area I've been telling you to surrender for a week. I've been telling you to surrender for a month, for years, whatever it is. I want to encourage you and challenge you. This isn't about guilting you in anything, but this is about you saying, I'm I need to let this go now so I can be used by God in this way, so I can fly towards the destiny that he has for me. So the second point to this is the set position. And this, I can be honest with you, I hope, here today, and say this is my least favorite. But I've got a new revelation recently as I was preparing this message, actually, because this is the position that's all about patience, right? So you're drawn back, you're the arrow in the bow, you've got the tension, and you're saying, great, I can see the target, God, I'm ready, let me go, I'm ready, send me. Here we go. And God whispers, wait. There's a very frustrating verse in Luke 24, verse 49. Funny hearing a pastor say that, right? But it's true. It's very frustrating. Luke 24, 49, it says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So this is Jesus. After he rises from the grave, after he comes back to life, he's hanging out with his disciples. He's made himself real to them. He's saying all these great things are happening. And he's told them, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All this excitement. They're saying, great, we're ready. Send us, God. He says, but stay in the city until you've been endowed with power from on high. Wait. No one likes to wait, right? It's a pain to wait. But this was Jesus' instruction to them. And now, when I was preparing this, God reminded me of my very first experience with archery. I was about 11 years old. I was at a summer camp, or it was like a two-week-long summer camp. So I was there, and they were training us on archery. And I remember the instructor teaching us. He says, okay, so when you get set, you knock your arrow, and then you pull it back. And as you're doing that, you take a deep breath in, because that raises your chest up, gets everything ready. You're aligned correctly then. But then before you release the arrow, he says, make sure that you exhale, that you breathe out, relax your muscles, and then you release that arrow and it flies true and straight to its target. And then as I heard that in my mind, as I was remembering back to that process and how that all worked, I feel like this illustration is no accident, that God made this very crystal clear to me, that it's during this time he's breathing on us. And in the Bible, whenever God's breathing on his people, it's symbolic of his spirit being filling them up. There's a section of scripture that talks about this, and it's in Acts chapter 2, a very famous scripture. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, so this is, Jesus said in Luke, wait, this is what they were waiting for right here. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this is a powerful moment, right? And I love the imagery the Bible uses, that it was a sound like the rushing of a wind coming in. And that sounds a lot like God breathing out on them, right? It's just, that, you know, this breath of God and this filling us up. And when we're in that position waiting, we're right. An archer often holds their fingers right by their chin. So literally, they're breathing on that arrow as they're exhaling. And this is God breathing on us, saying, I am preparing you for what I have prepared for you. I'm preparing you to go to the target. I'm preparing you for the destiny I have for you, and I'm about to release you and launch you forward into this great thing I've got for you. But you need to linger in my presence. You need to learn my heartbeat. You need to know what I'm about. And right now, I'm going to demystify this a little bit, because it sounds kind of mystical, right? Like, oh, God, breathing on you. Okay, do I feel something? What does this all mean? And I'll make it very, very clear right now. What this is all about, this season of time, this waiting, is about being able to discern and hear God's voice and to act accordingly, to respond to his voice. Because he came to have a relationship with you and with me. That he didn't come just so we could follow some rules in a book. He didn't come just so that we could behave well. He came to have a relationship, a friendship with you and with me. That is why Jesus came and saw it worth dying on the cross for you and for me, so that he can have a relationship. Not so we can just behave well, not just so we can follow rules, but rather to walk with us each and every day, to have us for eternity with him, to save our eternal selves. That's why Jesus came. And he wants that relationship with you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't experienced that relationship. You're in a spot and you're saying, hey, you know, I want that. I want to walk with God. I'm in, but you haven't committed to that. If that's you, even just as we're here today, just raise your hand so I know. Just raise your hand. Nothing to be ashamed of. We've all made a decision like this. If anybody's here? Okay. All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a moment. We're going to say a prayer together, and I'm going to ask everybody to repeat with me. Okay? But if you're making this decision for the first time, this is going to change your life because you're inviting Jesus into your life. So let's take a second. We'll bow our heads. We'll close our eyes. Nothing magical about that. This is just to get rid of any distractions. And so if you can repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I need your help. And I surrender my life to you today. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again to life to save me from my sins. Thank you for that. I ask that you continue to help me in this life to follow you all my days. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for those who responded to that. You were bold enough to say that. Your life is going to be forever changed because now you're walking with God. The scripture talks about his spirit comes and lives within you now. So this is a way he communicates with us and he talks with us and he leads and guides us so that we can do the right things. And it's all based on his word and his Bible. And come and see me after if you've made that decision for the first time today. And I will give you some more tools and suggestions on how you can walk this out. But I'm excited for you. This is an awesome, awesome time for you now. So you're set. You're being held back. You're drawn back, ready to launch forward. And it's this time of patience, and God's breathing on you. He's speaking to you. He's teaching you his heartbeat, what he cares about, so that you can be launched forward to hit the destined target that he has for your life. Maybe you're here, and you're thinking to yourself, I've been in this position for years. I've been waiting for God to launch me, and it seems like it's taking forever. And you're about to give up. What's interesting in those two passages of scriptures I read, the one in Luke, it said that Jesus had about 500 people with him that witnessed him ascend into heaven when he gave this instruction. He said, wait in the city until you get endowed with power. About 500 witnesses experienced that. Then in Acts chapter 2, it tells us that there was 120 people in the upper room. So that means some 380 or so, if my math is right, either grew impatient, had other obligations, other things they were doing, and they weren't with the whole group waiting for God to do his thing. How many times have I jumped off the bow as the arrow and said, I'm too tired of waiting, I'm not going to wait any longer? And I missed out on what God wanted to launch me into. And I pose that same question to you. How many times have you gotten ahead of God or said, it's just taking too long. I'm not going to wait any longer for this. And you've self-sabotaged it, however that looked. And God's saying, it's not too late for you. I want to put you back. I want to launch you into what I have for you. But you have to patiently endure. You have to wait. Allow him to experience his heartbeat. Allow him to tell you what he has for you, to instruct you, to line you up so that you're ready to launch with his power so you will hit the target because you can't do it on your own. We can do nothing apart from him, the word says. You need his empowerment. You need his help. So allow him to breathe on you. Allow him to hold you in that position as long as it takes, as frustrating as that is. And I'm there with you. I know how that can be. But hang in there, and God will use you in a mighty way as he launches you to that destined target he has for you. All right. Number three, the position of release. This is the fun part, right? This is the part when God lets you go and you're flying, and people are just drawn to what God is doing in you, and it's incredible that you're not even saying all the right words, but they're just saying, I just need Jesus because I see it all over you, and I need your help. And you're experiencing him do incredible things in your life. It's this amazing journey that you're on with God. And the caution that I give you in this, because I've been here as well, is all of a sudden you start to think, oh, well, I made some good choices to get me here. I did some good work to get to this point. And God's saying, don't forget, it's the archer that launched you into this, right? You're only here because you said yes, because you allowed yourself to be conformed to his image, because you did this, and he's doing the amazing work in and through you. So don't get prideful in this. Don't allow yourself to become conceited or that you deserve this or you did the right things that got you here. It's by God's grace you're there. It's by God's grace that we experience this. So we can enjoy that process, enjoy that time, because eventually, whether it's a day, months, years, whatever the case is, that you're flying through that air, eventually you're going to hit your destined target. And then God's going to go collect you again and find you have maybe a bend in a different area that he's got to work out and draw you back again, and you have a season of waiting, and then he'll launch you again to something else. Because this is a repetitive process in our lives with him. Something great that he does in our life, and it's an awesome thing. There's a story we're not going to turn to today for the sake of time, but I'm going to summarize a little bit in the Bible that has these three phases in it so clearly to me, and it's in Acts chapter 10. And it's a story of a man named Cornelius. So I encourage you to look this up on your own afterwards, at Acts chapter 10, and read that entire chapter. It's just amazing. There's a man named Cornelius who's part of the Roman Empire, and he's praying to God. He's a believer, praying to God. And an angel shows up to him and says, send for Peter. We all know Peter. He's the disciple of Jesus that often got himself in trouble because he was quick to say whatever popped into his head. And Peter, they said, send for Peter. And so Peter is in a remote area away from the city that this Cornelius is in. And so he sends for him, sends some men to get him. And as the men are on their way, God gives Peter a vision. And in this vision, he's lowering a sheet with some animals on it. And in his culture, because Peter was Jewish, in his culture, he was not allowed to eat certain meats, certain foods, and certain animals were forbidden in their culture. So he lowers the sheet, and on it is all these different animals, and God speaks to him and says, kill and eat these animals. And Peter gets very devout in this moment and says, never, Lord, I cannot do this thing that's unclean. I would never violate that rule. And this happens three times. Lowers, comes down, and he says this, and so then Peter's left pondering what's going on. Meanwhile, there's a knock on the door. The guys that Cornelius sent show up, and the Spirit speaks to Peter and says, go with them. And then there's this shift that happens because God wasn't even concerned about the food at this point that he was showing him about the animals. God cared about people. And it was part of their customs as well that the Jewish people didn't go into the homes of Gentiles, because they believed differently, they thought differently, and they viewed it in this time period that it would have been unclean for them to go there. It would have defiled themselves by doing this. But God had a bigger picture in mind. So he sends Peter to them. Peter, and I get kind of this picture because this was a bend Peter had. He had a bend that salvation, what Jesus did, wasn't for all people. It was just for his people, the people that thought like him, the people that he liked, the people that he hung out with. And God had to work this bend out in him and say, no, I've got a bigger plan for this, but you're thinking this way, but I need to straighten your arrow. And so Peter, because God tells him to, goes, and we find later in that chapter, and as you read this, you'll discover this. To me, it feels a bit like Peter still had an attitude at this point. Maybe you'll read it and you'll discern it differently, but to me, it sounds like Peter, he gets there and he's like, all right, I really shouldn't be here, but God told me to, so what's your deal? What's going on? And then Cornelius says, well, an angel showed up to me, said to send for you, so what's going on with you? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. The Bible doesn't say it exactly like this, but general idea, okay? So they're at this spot, and then Peter starts just speaking about what God has done, what Jesus did to die on the cross, to raise from the dead, to provide salvation for his people. And all of a sudden, the Spirit, God breathing all over Peter, goes on to the people. They start speaking in tongues. They're experiencing the presence of God in an awesome way. They're being changed and renewed and refreshed just as they're hearing this amazing message that Peter's sharing. And then they enter into a relationship with Jesus. They pray similar to what we did today. They ask Jesus into their lives. They get baptized. They start walking with God, and they're forever changed. Because Peter was willing to allow God to fix the bend in his life, to breathe on him and launch him forward to the divine destiny, even though it wasn't anything Peter ever thought to do on his own. And God wants to do the same in your life and in my life. There's some things God has for you that you've never even dreamed up yet. There's some amazing things God has called us as a church, as a corporate body to accomplish that we have no idea it's even going to happen yet. And as we continue to go through this process with God and allow him to breathe on us, allow him to straighten the bends in our life, and allow him to launch us forward in the great things he has destined for us to do, we're going to experience the reality of these things. So with that being the case, I want to challenge you today, because I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. Maybe you're here, and you're at the spot where you know you're holding on to some bends, some weights, some imbalances in your life, some things that you like or maybe you even hate, but you just haven't been able to get over them. You haven't been able to get past them. And God's saying, surrender that to me today. Now I will straighten the arrow of your life. I will set you for a purpose that I have. Maybe you're here and you're saying, for so long it feels like I've been drawn back. I can so close, I can taste the target. I want to be released. I'm ready to go. And God keeps telling me to wait. Maybe you're about to jump off the boat. Maybe you're saying, this is too much. I've waited too long. And God's saying, just get to know me better. Just lean into me and I will release you. Your release is coming. Just lean into me. Maybe you're here and you're flying through the air and you're saying, I don't even know what's going on. Just people are drawn to Jesus through me. It's an incredible thing. And that's awesome. And like I mentioned, my caution to you is don't get big-headed about it. Just know it's God doing the work in and through you. Because God does the work in all these processes. All we do is say yes. We surrender to him. We conform to his image. And he does the hard work that he's called us to do. And it's an amazing thing. And I want to invite you today, as we get ready to close, to stand to your feet. And every time I preach, you'll hear me say this, is I invite you to just ask God. You can say it quietly, silently, loudly, however you want. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? And I ask you to do that, because the Holy Spirit, we're all in different places, different phases, different walks. And God's speaking something to you that to the person next to you, he's speaking something different. So just say, God, what do you want to say to me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. The opportunity that we have to be here together to even ask that question, Lord, what are you speaking to us, is incredible. Because we know you want to speak to us. You desire relationship more than anything else with us, Lord. So right now over your people, I ask that they would know your heart, that they would hear your voice, and they would be able to respond accordingly by the power of your Holy Spirit living within them. That you make it so practical for them, because we know your words, your leadings always line up with your scripture. And Lord, we ask that you today would help us to hear your voice and to respond according to what you are speaking to us, whatever that area is, whether we have an area we need to surrender to you, continue to be patient and just lean into your presence and experience the empowerment that you want to pour out to us, or as we are launched forward to the destiny that you've called for us, God, whatever it is, that you would minister to your people today, empower them today, this week, that they would be able to walk in the fullness of all that you have for them. Thank you for them. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. If you would like prayer in any area, I invite you to come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. God's got an amazing future for you. So to continue to lean into him and see what he'll do with your life. God bless you.